Why?
And you see her laying down.
Yeah.
You see her laying down. Watch it. See? Yeah, a little slow to get up, huh? Yeah, I know you want it, huh? This is.
The I thing. Met Savannah.
You did?
I think, right? Yeah, I played some you ball. Did.
Yep,
Savannah,
maybe.
Come here.
Can you sit for me? Can you sit? Because we're acting right now. How about, can you talk to me? Can you speak? Speak. Big loud. Where are you going? Oh, no, I don't want you to go lay down. I want you to come here. Speak. Good girl. So she's still got, and then it's the little shitheads.
What's up, everybody? This is Bella Mars. I am back with another episode of Big Time Fresh. I'm back with my guy, JP.
Hey, thank you, you wonderful people, and saddle up for another very fun-filled episode.
Grab them drinks and saddle on up, because...
Oh, yeah, cheers.
Cheers.
I did see on my Facebook memories that years ago, at this time, Philadelphia Eagles had won the Super Bowl.
Oh.
And they burned down their own damn city with rioting. So hopefully that does not happen again this time.
Yeah. Well, luckily.
Because.
Yeah. They're in your city. On your turf.
Oh, no. They were in a different city. They got excited in their own home place and burned their stuff down. You know, I'm not a fan of Kansas City, so we'll see what happens. But, no football this week. You know,
that'll be a good game. It's been a while since Brady hasn't been all up in there.
Well, yeah, no Brady, no Roethlisberger, no Rodgers, no Mannings. Like, it is a new era for football, and so it is exciting.
Yeah.
To see these, you know, quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, even Joe Burrow, that's out. it's exciting to see that, and also other quarterbacks to solidify their place in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like Mr. Hunt and what have you. So we'll.
I like that there's a really solid like 10-year, give or take. Overlap between like the super legends and the new kids on the block kind of thing, where there's still like they have a role model that they need to live up to, however you define role model, but there's a standard of being a quarterback in the NFL to, I don't know. I just see the ones that you named, like Tom Brady, Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers. Like, in my mind, as a more of a less of a football fan, like they have a very, like, these guys are NFL football players. They're not messing around on the weekends and going all crazy. I mean, no social media back then, but like they take their job very serious.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, Jalen Hurts being, and I said Hunt, I don't know what I was thinking, but, you know, Jalen Hurts being the kind of anomaly in that. Ben Roethlisberger had his indiscretions that were settled or whatever, but I totally agree that, you know, they're as they appear to be to us, as what we can see, and the access we have to social media and this and that, they appear to be great, like great or good, great football players, good people. I'm glad you brought up Aaron Rodgers, because there is speculation that there is a possibility that he may be moving to Las Vegas to be the next Las Vegas Raiders quarterback. I will say my cousin Shell is against that. It's all speculation and, you know, propaganda and hearsay and this and that. But I'm going to tell you right now, if the Raiders were to say, we signed Aaron Rodgers to a contract.
Yeah, like, I mean.
I don't care if it's a year or five. Yeah. I know Aaron Rodgers is 39.
Hey.
And Tom Brady's 45.
Yeah.
Which means, in my deluded Las Vegas Raiders mind, we could have Aaron Rodgers for the next 6 years. So we'll see what happens.
Every time Brady was in the Super Bowl, which was like, forever now, it's like I'm not really interested, because it's gonna end the same way as it always does with those, you know. So I'm just like,
well,
I'm waiting for something new and people who are hungry for it, you know.
We will have something new. Fun fact about Brady, he's from San Mateo.
Really?
Yep, he's from San Mateo. And Aaron Rodgers also played at Cal. I'll just give that little snippet. But Brady was never expected to be a prolific quarterback. People constantly doubted him. And frankly, he accomplished more things in his late 30s and 40s than he did when he was drafted in his 20s and 30s. So it goes to show, like,
40s are the new 30s,
maybe there's a little bit of grit with that. Like, you know, one of my favorite quotes personally is, tell me I can't do something.
Yeah.
And then watch me.
Yeah.
While I do it. So.
Yes, that is you.
My mama taught me that.
My dad did not teach me that. He actually highly encouraged / tried to enforce quite the opposite. Where I tell you to do something, you do it because I'm your father and you're my daughter who's raising hell. And so I'm like, okay, you want me to stay here in the house? No, I'm going out to the park. So it was very much like, whatever you say, I'm going to do the opposite, no matter what that looks like, because I can't you tell me what to do. So that would be a piece of advice that I would say, that if you have a daughter, don't put too many restrictions, because it could backfire.
Is there any advice that your dad gave you then that might be considered outdated today, that maybe being one of them?
That was one of them. I mean, I kind of got an interesting perspective because I have two younger sisters, the youngest being 20 years younger than me. So she just graduated high school. So I got to kind of see the evolution of how my bad behavior affected how my dad parented the rest of the kids going forward. And came with age. Like, of course, you know, you get easier and easier as it goes down the road. But when it came down to dating, completely different story. Like, I wasn't allowed to go anywhere. I had to be back by like 7 or 8 o'clock. And it was just super highly discouraged or outlawed completely. Which, when my sisters, they had, you know, they didn't have those restrictions. It was more of like a common sense thing. Like, if something looked out of control, starting to get out of line, then something would be mentioned. So in a sense that they were approached first with trust. And then, you know, like, course correct along the way. Versus me.
You were approached with doubt.
Yes.
And sometimes being approached with doubt will also cause somebody to be combative.
Yeah. It's like, all right, well, you don't believe me anyway. So
you don't trust me out the gate.
Yeah, like, so why do I care? But I was firstborn. Like, why was it like this? Why was it like this? Therapist is like, well, first of all, you're the first child. You're the firstborn. So there's a lot of things that you would have experience that nobody else would, even if it were tried to be replicated, because nobody knows what you're doing with your first one.
You know, that's interesting, because consequently, I was really good in hindsight. I was really good at not getting caught. And I'm also the firstborn, and so there was some resentment from me in a different category, that you know, I was seen as the golden child. I did everything right, you know, this and that. Mm-hmm. And so, like, something as simple as cleaning up the house and making sure the house was organized, and then, you know, watching my youngest sibling, like, being able to wreck shop, and he didn't have to pick up after himself. And I'm like, well, you know, as a child, like, well, he's not, you know, you're telling me to clean up the house. You're not parenting him.
Yeah.
And so And also maybe it was a boy girl thing. We don't like to label that now in this day and age. But hey, you know, 25 years ago, it was a different time.
Yeah.
You know, so like as far as being home at a certain time, what did you get dating advice?
Advice? Actually, I got no sex talk, no dating advice. It was just banned in every sense of the word. So I had one boyfriend who went to Northgate while I was at Clayton. And then he was 17 and I was 15. And that was the end of that forever. So, you know, resulting in going to college and going crazy. Like, I'm trying to balance it out so there's not that disparity of what happened with me, where it's like I know nothing to psychotic, dangerous first year on my own without living with my parents. So my advice was, don't have a boyfriend. When I had one, I wasn't allowed to shut the doors, which I'm still going to enforce that rule.
That's a good rule.
Yeah, right?
It's a good rule. Yep.
I mean, that from when I was that age, that was my dating advice / sex advice. Didn't get it.
My dating advice was the same as people advice was, be respectful, be a gentleman, as one would call it, and also consequently, being a gentleman, being polite, being respectful, made me kind of be bad in a way, because maybe I overcompensated for it a little bit too much to be a gentleman, yeah. And this and that, and also I was a teenager with raging hormones and not a full understanding of what the heck was going on. You know, there was a time in my younger years where I was dating multiple women before it was, or girls, before it was common practice to share that information. And somebody might say, like, I can, you know, I know that those other girls don't matter. I can tell by the way that you kiss me. And it is embarrassing to say at 40 years old that my response was, I kiss them all that way. It's terrible. I and from that experience, I would give my son different advice.
But see, you wouldn't have known if you didn't act that way.
Maybe. I would like to think so, and I hope so. You know, my dating advice was, protect yourself. You know, sex talk, no, not so much. I didn't really get that either. I think that
I think I needed it. I should have. I think I would have.
A lot of problems. I did too.
But man, it was such a different. You know, age. Boomer parents are just.
Well, look, if they're not going to get the information from us, then they may get. They're not going to get the information from Google, so they may get opinionated information from, Reels, TikTok, whatever. And so that's not always factual information. That's an opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when did opinion become fact? I don't know, 2019. Yeah. I'm not really sure. But 2020, opinion's not fact. So
yeah.
You know, dating advice today for my son. You know, without the consequence of sounding, I don't know, sorry to be very frank, without the consequence of sounding very insecure and unsure about yourself, you need to walk a tightrope or a fine line in ensuring that your partner wants the same thing
yeah.
as you. Look, I think it still stands true today. No means no. Stop.
Yeah.
Even if somebody says it and you're able to proceed, it doesn't mean that it's right.
Right. Yeah.
So stop. Look, open doors.
Yeah.
Offer to pay the tab, offer to pay the bill. If somebody says, I don't need you to open a door for me, I'm independent, allow them to be independent. That's not a knock at them. It's not a shot at you. Allow people to be themselves, but always offer. Very early on, my father told me to, use the term sir and ma'am until somebody corrects you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get, like unsure, what do I do in that situation? I said, yes, sir. And they said, hey, don't call me, sir. What do you do? And it's like, well, ask them what their name is. They say, don't call me, sir. Excuse me. What's your name? And they say, my name is Jeff. Oh, okay, Jeff.
Yeah.
Got it covered. So, I that's the advice that I would give now.
Yeah.
As far as dating.
Hold on 1 second.
I think.
Did you need something? Oh, okay. She's talking to her friend. Anyway.
Boomers, I think, used to use the somebody is always watching you. Like, we see everything. And that was them telling you to listen to your conscience. Listen to your Jiminy Cricket. Watch Pinocchio if you don't understand that reference. But it was to listen to your inner voice about what was right and what was wrong. The difference today, when we say, hey, somebody's always watching you, it's a fact. They got their phone on. Like, you are, and it is open to interpretation. And frankly, when the phone starts recording, is when it started recording. So anything that happened prior to that recording is inconsequential. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I think at the core, a lot of the advice that I got from my folks growing up still stands true today.
Yeah.
But there are parts of that, that the advice that I got was, well, in simplest of terms, to be submissive, not stand up for yourself. And
yeah, that's a very boomer. I feel like that's such a, because in, I think being our age at the elder side of the millennial generation, I think we saw the shift in, I was told, it was drilled in my head, be there. We probably talked a little bit about this before, but I was like, be there before your boss gets there. Leave after your boss leaves. Work is work is work, and that's how you're going to show your worth, is how your career is. So
be early, stay late.
Yeah,
grind
it out.
And
your job is defines your success. Basically.
So what I felt was missing from that statement, it's a broad statement, it wasn't instilled in me, but that was my parents' narrative. Be early, be 15 minutes early, stay later than everybody else, work as hard as you can while you're there. That's it. What could be built on today is, hey, be on time.
That's a good
one.
Yeah.
Also, your family is important. So leave when you're supposed to leave so you can keep that expectation for your family and your partners. Don't just work as hard as you can. Work as smart as you can.
Yeah.
My wife can get done in 5 hours or 4 hours, sometimes 2 hours, what some people take 8 hours to do. Okay. That's great. It's a wonderful attribute. Yes, I do believe in being early. I think some of the things that our parents were trying to instill in us about being early is something they didn't understand.
Yeah.
Or understand within themselves. When they say be early, they don't mean, in my opinion, don't necessarily be early, but if you left your home at the same time every single day, to get to work. What if there's a traffic accident?
Right, yeah.
So I think more it was like, don't ever be late.
Like consistent.
And how do you account? What can you control? How do I control that I'm never late? Well, then I have to leave 20 minutes early, earlier than I would every single day. Here's the thing. Times are different. If I roll into work with my president and I'm, you know, it's 7:15.
Yeah.
I should have been there at 7. And I explain, like, there was a terrible accident.
Yeah.
My child had a really messy diaper and I had to completely change their clothes before I dropped them off to the sitter.
Exactly.
You know, hey, I was really stressed out from yesterday and I overslept. Like, if you're really efficient while you're there, none of that stuff matters.
Like
it really doesn't.
And it shouldn't. If you're a good company, like it doesn't matter because you value the people and the work they produce. It's not, oh my God, they show up at 7:05 every day and they, you know, and it's not about the quality of work and people hate working there because they focus on the wrong things about, it's like, is it, because like you said, shit happens, life happens. There's no
so
way
here,
yeah, that it could be
consistent.
Here's
the bad advice I got.
Yeah.
There is no way. There's too many anomalies, right? Like, here's the bad advice that I necessarily got, or I may have got. Like, you know, do your job. No matter what, you got a good job. Hold with it. Now, I've heard scenarios where, I'm not picking on a particular entity, but scenarios where somebody's like, their boss hits them up and it's like, hey, I need you to come in today. And it's like, no, I scheduled this time off, you know, 3 months ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever. You approved me to not be there.
Yeah.
Well, the four other people that were supposed to be here, they all are not showing up. And so the business is going to fail. And it's not like it's oxygen. It's not like it's,
Heart surgery.
You know, hey, you know what? You like, we can go in depth on, it's a restaurant. Shut the restaurant doors for a day. All right. But what ends up happening is they put the pressure on their, you know, type A employee and they make them feel guilty in a sense because no, I'm depending on you, this and that. And what my parents taught me was go into work. Go. Four other people didn't show up. You gotta go.
Yeah.
Because of what that manager said. Today, my advice would be to my son, if that situation happened, you need to find another career.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's true. Because they're not valuing people. And it's clear as day with that scenario.
Most companies will lean on or put pressure on the people that they can depend on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a situation at a restaurant, for example, and you're a server, and you traded shifts with somebody, which happens very often, and that other person didn't show up. Like, hey, Bella, I need you to show up. You know, JP, you know, no showed. Well, I traded shifts with JP. So, you know, I need you to come in. And it's, hey, you know what? You're talking to the wrong person, or you need, you know, that to make you feel guilt about my shortcomings is an act of desperation. It's that they don't have an answer.
Yeah.
And it's because people above them have created a bad dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, the show must go on, or the store must open, or this and that. And ultimately, if that happened and you came into work, like, unless you're Mother Teresa or Gandhi, you're going to come in with some level of resentment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you resent something, eventually you're going to,
it's going to affect everything.
In a relationship, you can have resentment. Well, your relationship with your work is it is that.
Yeah.
It is a relationship. And the only question you have to ask yourself, is this the only way that I can earn income to support myself? It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. So, if TGI Fridays is giving you a hard time, not to pick on them, and Applebee's is knocking on your door, like giving you sunshine and rainbows, there's two things to consider. One is go to Applebee's, get your sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah.
there's no guarantee that Applebee's sunshine and rainbows are still going to be there. So I think to the core of it, you know, my parents taught me like, hey, have a good work ethic, work hard.
Yeah.
If you're not appreciated, then make sure you solidify another place to go where you will be appreciated.
And don't
when
wait
that
too
expires,
long. Yeah.
And don't wait too long. When that expires, I left one job where I was there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently found my, you know, a card that everybody signed. And a lot of employees of my decade of experience and time there had very positive things to express to me. I found the general manager's note, and it was, hit the road, Jack.
Ah.
That was literally the GM.
What do you think? What, how'd that make you feel? I don't know how it
happened. At that time. Mm-hmm. At that time, as I think back to it, and my time today is, I made the right decision.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah,
I made the right decision. So, with work ethic, I think that my folks ingrained something at my core is, hey, yes, when you're young, show up early, maybe stay late, work as hard as you can while you're there. Why? Because older people are going to doubt you. It's inevitable.
Yeah, that's inevitable.
You're not proven. But once you prove yourself and you have proof to solidify your experience, then know your value.
Yeah.
And if your value is not known, have a plan and move on. For some people, that could mean that they have 20 jobs from 18 to 40.
Yeah.
For other people, it means they have 5. If you're sure in yourself, then you made the right call. Also, your parents are going to ingrain into you their own experiences, as people naturally do when they give advice.
Right.
Which means if your parents had hardship and it was hard to find a job, when you lock up a job that pays, hold on to that shit, even if they treat you like shit.
Right. And I think that's one that they have, at least my parents too, have a hard time grasping with, not putting up with. Like, well, you're getting solid income and you have a security, so, you know, mental health and physical health and all that kind of health comes second. Sorry, if you commute an hour there and back, you got solid income. And now that's the shittiest. Because that's what I did.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and then it's like, now that I like really realize how much, and we did talk about this, but like how disposable, expendable anybody is.
You are. Anybody. Me, you.
Blew my mind. So it's like, and then, you know, there's the other end of this where it's like, you don't have to stay in the job, but you also have to be ready to work, put in the work to do what you want to do. Otherwise, you're just going to be sitting there complaining that you don't have a job because your boss wasn't nice. It's like, you can't have it both ways. Like, if you realize you're in a bad work situation and then you want to leave because of everything we just talked about, you can't sit on the couch and complain that life sucks because I don't have a job if you're not actively doing something about it. And I think that's where my dad kind of found that grace. I found my grace period with my dad because he saw me like constantly looking and, you know, trying different opportunities here and there, because otherwise he'd be like, just take the first job that you get. But once he saw what I was trying to do, it became a lot less about finding the first job versus finding a job that I can actually like not cry every day at, you know.
I've heard about this thing called quiet quitting.
Yeah.
Where you just go through the motions and this and that. And I think that on the surface, that's okay. I'm not happy where I'm at. I'm going to go seek an alternative. What I think some people took quiet quitting to is, I'm going to, do not only the bare minimum, but less than the bare minimum. Well, is that who you really are?
Right.
Are you a bare minimum person? Like, no, you're going in a negative direction out of spite.
Right, right.
So take that energy, turn it into something else that you want to do. Negativity begets negativity.
Right.
And so positivity begets positivity. So even if you left a job that you were spiteful of and you still were the best you, your next employer, you know, will see that.
Yeah.
Because as much as you put, you know, call Bella as a reference, they're going to call Bob, the right. GM that you yeah. didn't like. And why? Because information is readily available. And Bob's like, you know what? They did okay. But like for the last 6 months, they might be going through some stuff because they're just subpar and,
yeah.
you know, not a good employee and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, in the evolution of my folks, they give advice, which was work hard and have a job. And, you know, they did say happiness was not part of the equation. Today, you can be anything. You can try anything that you want.
Yeah.
Just understand that, you know what your core is. I got to breathe. I got to eat. I got to have a roof over my head. If you have that and you are 32 and you're still living with your folks, make sure that you are heading in the direction.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Don't be complacent.
It's like a step.
And that's not for everybody either.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are some people that are very happy shoveling excrement and coming home smelling to high heaven. And they're very content with their life.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we have dreamers. And that's why we also have people that are very well grounded. Look, if you didn't have that opposition, dreamers would stay up in the clouds.
Yeah.
And the people that are very grounded would never get off of their feet.
Yeah.
It's all about balance. So I think that our folks lacked balance.
Yeah.
Out of fear, because they didn't, you know, they didn't know what it was going to be.
You know what? I think now that we're talking about it, I'm sure the fact that women weren't expected to work maybe had fueled that kind of thought process where it's like, I have to work, I have to put stuff on the table, I have to make sure my family's good because there's only one of me, and if I'm the only one that they can depend on, and you know, their mom can't, I mean, because she didn't work, and that wasn't a big deal back then, but now I feel like maybe happiness is something to consider, because it's less, well, maybe there's more room to be happy, because running a household or bringing in money isn't all on one person. I don't know. Like, the man doesn't have to be the only person making money in the house. So therefore, he's not the one taking on all the stress of keeping the money, to bringing in money to provide for everybody around him. I don't know.
Well, I like your train of thought, and it's not what one would call gender specific. And you know, there, you know, my father-in-law, who had passed away, he raised 5 kids on his own, 4 girls and a boy, and the mom wasn't present. And my gosh, there were times when he had a job where he may or may not had a place to live, and his kids are in the parking lot of that job, sleeping in the car.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Now what he held true was they were in eyesight. He could see. It's not like they were, you know, abandoned, this and that. And like today, I'm very, very fortunate for my wife. And when it comes to income, money, that's a separate thing. It's just a, hey,
yeah,
do we have enough money to pay the bills? When it comes to doing dishes, house chores, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't like mopping. Ugh, I hate vacuuming. Oh, okay, cool. How do you feel about vacuuming? I'm okay with it. How do you feel about mopping? I'm okay with it. And then you'll find that those two people will have harmony or happiness because they get to do the thing they want. Or you run into a situation like me where my wife didn't really like vacuuming, but she hated mopping. So she would vacuum. And then technology invented robots that would vacuum.
Man, we are not, I'm telling you though.
And because finances are not an issue or whatever, it's like we're buying robotic vacuums. Leaving more times for happiness. And like I think that's great in a dual parenting dynamic or dual spousal dynamic. I think it's harder when you're a single parent to find that happiness. Because you have the weight of, well, you take the weight from your shoulders and you place that weight on your child, but not in a way that some people may interpret that you have the weight of them and you and your parents. You have all the weight.
Yeah.
I need to not only prove to my parents and be a good, you know, a good child to them, I need to make my child better. Something that I had heard a long time ago as far as children go, if you work a lot of hours and you have a good home, or maybe you don't work a lot of hours, the thing about that your child remembers, whether you were happy or not, that's it. And by the way, like we as parents look at like feeding like mac and cheese, and it's a special occasion when it's like maybe mac and cheese and hot dogs or we have spaghetti or this and that. They don't remember whether
that's a good point. I never thought of it.
You bought mac and cheese because it was 99 cents for a box.
Yeah.
They remember that they love mac and cheese and that their parent was happy.
Yeah.
That's all they remember. That's all they will ever know. And then later in life, they might go, man, we had breakfast for dinner a lot. Oh man, my parents must have had financial struggles.
Yeah.
I loved breakfast for dinner.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a TV show. It's since concluded, but Big Bang Theory, where one of the arguably based on the show, Sheldon was one of the smartest people alive, and his favorite thing in the world was spaghetti with little hot dogs in it.
Oh,
it's like the cute. Most affordable meal you could possibly make. But it made him happy. It brought him joy.
Yeah.
And I think, you know.
No, I think you're totally right. It's about, because they're not going to remember. I mean, sometimes I'll say, you know, well, if she wants to buy something that's outside of what I had budgeted for, I'm usually like, well, I get paid in a couple weeks, which I need to stop doing that. Because then she's like, now she's asking me when I'm getting paid. So I know she's asking for her, but I'm also like, I shouldn't say that because then she thinks money is an issue. Like, money's a problem.
Yeah.
That's one thing that my dad was very good at. He never said how broke he was because we were pretty broke. Apparently, we were about to lose the house that we lived in. Because the second stepmom, it was so crazy. Like, we came home one day from school. Morning was fine, whatever. Came home. Everything was gone out of the house. So she took everything. It was so weird. Like, I don't even know how. I don't even think I blocked it out or didn't process or whatever. I didn't care for her very much anyway. But, like, when she left, she took everything, and then obviously divorced, so she got some money. So my dad was saying, like, he would make us dinner. It would be like hamburger helper, but he made it next with a side of rice so that he could like split it up during the week and have it last longer. But now I know why. You know, he never told me that it was because of that.
So I think at some point maybe dive into Dive into because you said something important. You go, hey, I don't really remember that. Maybe I blocked it out.
Yeah.
Or maybe maybe it was created in a way that, you know, he was a good dad in that. To give an example of my own experience, yeah. My folks couldn't afford like name brand stuff. And look, it's not popular now. It's not a thing, but inline skating was a huge thing when I was younger. And, I had a paper route. I had my own money in a sense, but I asked for a very specific pair of skates. When I was, I don't know, 13, and they were, I'm thinking back, they were, you know, a few $100s.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. And I had asked for Christmas for this pair of skates, and I must've been younger. Because 12, 13, I knew there wasn't, sorry, spoiler alert, Santa Claus. I knew there wasn't a Santa.
Yeah.
And I remember peeking in my parents' closet and seeing this pair of rollerblades that were, the coloring was black, neon pink, and purple.
Oh no!
And you say, "Oh no!" But I'm, you know, back in 1994, like, woof,
yeah,
it was heavy. And I remember seeing it and being disappointed. And then I remember opening it on Christmas morning, looking over at my mother. And she had an expression on her face that was looking for like,
yeah, like,
you know, hey, is this it? Are these right? And I remember saying to her, like, this is perfect. And I remember they were not made to be aggressive inline skates. So I pulled the wheels out of the center and I used them with friends that had the top of the line skates. And they made fun of me because of them. Uh-huh. And my physical ability was a little bit better than them, so I could still do the same things that they did.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember what happened, but at some point I told my mom, like, hey, I, you know, these are worn out. I need a new pair. And I went down with my own paper out money. She would take me to the store to go get my new skates. And I went to go get the new skates and I was $60 short. And I knew my parents didn't have the money. But she would cover the balance.
Yeah.
She didn't care. And she did. And I had these skates. Now, I don't know what we ate for dinner that week. I don't know if it was hamburger helper mixed with rice. I don't know what she had to sacrifice that week. The thing that I think I value the most from the story is that my mom did something, and you know what? I made it work.
Yeah.
She didn't feel bad about it. And in a graceful way, when I went to go get my new set, she saw, you know, that it was important to me.
Yeah.
Made it happen. So for that, call it blessed, call it fortunate, whatever happened, my folks had the ability at that time, or my mom did, to make that happen. Can't say that for every family. I think maybe one of the reasons that you blocked it out and whatever was your dad did something in a way that shielded you from something that didn't matter at that time.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
So
when it goes to your daughter now, I think that it's great that she wants to use her own money or allowance to contribute. But it's for something extra. And I think that you've drawn a great line. And hey, this isn't food, rent, clothes, this and that.
Yeah.
It's something extra. And if you want something extra, we have to work hard to get what we want. And sometimes you may work hard.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get what you want.
Yeah.
But it goes back to the work conversation with you in that, like, if you had a dual income, could you give her everything that maybe she wanted? You already give her everything she needs, but could you give her everything she wanted and she never knew, you know, whatever? But that would have meant that you were in a, sorry, folks, you can't see it, quote unquote, job or position or relationship that you were unhappy with.
Right.
And yeah, you could do that. But you made a decision, a smart one, you know, speaking as your friend, that, hey, that wasn't the best for both of you, or all three of you, as you want to put it. And, that in her growth is going to be helpful.
Yeah, I think even ultimately, at that time, that was the driving force. There is what happened to me, but I mean, that has nothing to do with, I mean, it has something to do with the ultimate decision, but what was very carefully thought through was, what is she going to take away from this 20 years from now? Like,
yeah,
is she going to, because eventually it's all gonna come out, you know, neither of us talk here about it, but it's obviously going to. And so if I'm over here like, hey, don't let people do this to you, don't let guys do this, and then she's like, well, you lived 20 years,
right? You have no credibility at
no
that
credibility
point. None
gone. Yeah,
none.
So
but you do have credibility to go like, and I'm going to make it relative to me because I don't know what your daughter's buying, but it's like, hey man, I can afford, or we're going to get this smaller toy right now. Big toys are, you know, special occasions, birthdays, whatever, this and that. But, I can instill that with him as best I can. If it was just me and him, yeah, I'm going to make sacrifices and this and that. I'm not going to talk trash about his mom.
Oh, yeah.
No. Even if she was trash.
Yeah.
And 20 years from now, what's he going to remember?
Right. I know. I remember it. That I remember both of my parents never, ever talked bad about the other. Now they do.
Of course they do, but you're an adult, right? Yeah, like my dad's dead. He passed away, you know, over 10 years ago. And, you know, I inherited his 1946 Chevrolet pickup. It's all he said he could leave me, that and a couple of guitars. And I hear my mom now, like, you know, we were going to buy a townhome in San Ramon. Your dad bought that damn boat. And we would have been homeowners if your dad, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I hear that now.
Yeah.
But I would have never, I didn't know that. And so what does that teach me? That my mom had resentment for my father? No. It's that, you know, when it came to her children, and my mom didn't even want kids.
Wow.
She didn't. She didn't. Yeah. My dad apparently talked her into it. But now today, what did I take from that? Hey man, don't make bad financial decisions. And even when you do, make sure you're with married to the right person that is gonna, like, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, you're right. 20 years from now, you can be real.
Yeah.
Not even 20 years.
Well, from I mean, whenever she asks after her, she's, I'm waiting until she graduates high school, and whenever she
that's
asks,
that's a good time.
You know.
Hey.
Because then she goes.
We talked about this before.
Yeah.
You can vote. You can purchase a firearm. Now you can drink alcohol, buy cigarettes. These are all milestones when it's like, hey, look, I didn't sugarcoat it for you, but let me give you the real deal.
He's
today.
Like, are you ready for this? Go ahead and sit on down. Let's crack open this bottle of wine that we're both old enough for.
And, yeah. And boomers do that. Boomers did that with us when we turned 40.
Yeah.
Or 35, when they should have done it when we were 22.
Yeah.
And we will do that. We will do that better. You know, advice, how I teach is, you know what? I think that I got a good foundation. I learned what to do, what not to do.
What's the number one thing, and then which would be a nice kind of a wrapping up of all of this, is what is one thing that you know some that your parents did not wrong, but what they taught you that you definitely will not be passing down to Jeffy, to your son? Like, I guess the biggest one in the sense that, like, it meant a lot to you, but it ended up having the opposite effect that you thought it would have. It's kind of hard for me to think about.
It's hard. And if I'm gonna grab at something now while we're live, it is don't sheltering, keeping your children protected is a good thing. Really think about that thing that you're sheltering your child from, and if it is going to, you know, if it affected you for 20 years, it's probably going to affect them for 20 years too. So find a way to explain that sooner.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but you know, one of the things that I guess I wish my parents would have done differently, is to better share, information, and don't keep it from me.
Yeah.
There are certain things parents should do, like what we've talked about with, like, you know, we're talking about toys. There are some families that are talking about food
Yeah.
and why they've eaten the same thing 3 nights in a row. That's tough. It's something I didn't have to experience, or maybe I did and I don't remember. I remember eating spaghetti 3 nights in a row. I can think of something that, what is something positive that my parents instilled in me, that I still use today, and I
That's a
wouldn't
good one.
change it.
Yeah.
I have that.
What's that one?
Treat people better than you want to be treated. Always be kind. Always be patient, especially with strangers. You never know what somebody else is going through. It doesn't cost you anything. And, you know, you can be kind to someone and they can be unkind to you. And if they breach that a couple times, then walk away.
Yeah.
But always start out with a positive expectation. And some people might say that that's foolish, or they might say that it's ignorant. But always be kind.
Yeah. And there's no reason for it to not be unless you're an asshole. But it's a good one. I and the one thing that I took away from my childhood that I realized that my dad never like preached, didn't he always practiced what he preached. He never, well, to my knowledge, and everything so far is checked out because I've tried. But he doesn't lie about anything from, you know, I don't feel he's ever lied. I've tried to, believe me, I've tried to dig and look for lies so I could use it against him. But he doesn't lie. And so it's impossible for me to lie. I've tried just, you
You're
know,
not good at
random situations. I'm terrible at it. So, I mean, I can't. Definitely, I tell my daughter, I think we talked about this, just tell me the truth and we'll figure it out later, but you won't be in trouble.
You know what? I think that's great advice because people are fallible.
Yeah.
We're all fallible.
How the fuck are we supposed to know if it's wrong or that we did something wrong if we've never done it before, especially at that age? So it's like, I don't know. But that's that. So I don't know. I think the last thing I'll mention is that every childhood is different. I would say it was rough. I was raised by my dad and so it was very different than most girls, but would I change anything? No, because everything I am today is because, you know, I of what I went through. The one thing I would change is that my dad didn't let me work a job in high school because he wanted me to focus on my grades, but my grades sucked and I didn't get to work a job, so I was kind of like stuck. But Yeah, that's something small. In the grand scheme of things, everything I've been through has made me who I am. So I don't regret any of it.
I don't regret any of it either. And on the contrary to what you're speaking about is, I went to work in high school. I was working 30 hours a week. And I always wanted to have a higher education on some level, whether it be an associate's degree or something. I at least wanted to try. No, even knowing I wasn't a great student. I never got that opportunity. So what am I going to do for my child, whether he's a great student or not? Try to have higher education. If you like music, try to learn an instrument, go through, and, as a parent, I want to put myself in a position that I can allow him to try those things. And if you think it comes down to financial, we've talked about this before, it doesn't. Try to learn an instrument, a music store, a school will let you try out the cello, the violin, a trumpet. They will let you try these things out. And that's a very isolated example. But look, man, if you think you want to be an astronaut, I know that's very high up there. Okay, go try that. If you think that you would be, a great philosopher and you want to get a philosophy degree, I'm going to tell you that you may have long, deep thoughts about being unemployed, but I still want you to try to do that thing.
Yeah.
So that's the other scheme of it, right? Yeah. Like my parents, but changing, I'm with you. And I think a lot of people will find that in retrospect that I wouldn't change anything. It's who I am, as long as they're comfortable in their own skin.
Yeah.
And if you're not comfortable in your own skin, now it's your turn to.
Yeah,
to,
it's on to, you.
Parents are gonna do it. You change it.
Yeah, and that's what I honestly think. That I don't want to say like, anybody could do anything, but there's a way. If you want something, you will find a way. Is how I like to position it.
Yeah, I couldn't be an astronaut. I'm not gonna be a brain surgeon. Like I'm not gonna be a professional baseball player. Stand-up comedian, an actor, all these things, like whatever. Would I be a badass janitor? Yeah, you better believe it.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not it. Maybe I'm the manager or owner of a janitorial company.
Mm-hmm. If it's not an astronaut, doesn't mean you're not gonna be successful in the area of aerodynamics or aerospace engineering or whatever.
You might be able to give Elon Musk a call and he might have a job for you.
Yeah.
Like, and he said you don't have to go to college to work at his company. So there you go. Try.
Try.
That's
just try and ask for help.
Always ask for help.
Just ask. No one's gonna think you're dumb. They're gonna actually appreciate the fact that you ask them. Ask questions. Live the life for and learn from your past so that when you have your own children, you're aware at least of where things are coming from when you look back and it's like, why am I like this? It's like,
And don't compare your life to what you see on TikTok and Facebook and social media and this and that. Like, that's not a comparison.
No.
It's just not.
I highly recommend a 2-week detox. It changed my life.
There you go.
It changed, like, a 2-week. Like, I used to be on every day, like, 4 hours a day, thinking that I needed to do it for promotions. But then when I started writing articles, I got nervous in the podcast. I was nervous to read any kind of negative feedback, so I just didn't go on social media. Problem solved, in a way. And I'll check in when I need to, but it's just so peaceful, and I don't know. So that's a and good look, one. Don't think everything is what social media is saying it is, because it's not.
And look, of course, these are based on our own personal experiences, and you know, we're not clinically proven. But look, I'm not totally content with who I am as a human. But
we're all works in progresses.
Progress, not perfection.
There you go. Never.
Yeah, whatever silly cliche or idiom that you want to include. And it's like, look, you know, we had parents that at times they sucked. At times they were great. Except the fact that you may be a crappy parent sometimes.
Yeah.
When you're sitting
up at night losing sleep over something you said when you freaked out and made them cry, that's when I'm like, not my best moment today.
I you know, and I've had conversations with my 4-year-old the next day when he's like, good morning, daddy, and he comes in and gives me a hug, and I look at him, and he may not get it, but I look at him and I was like, you know, hey bud, we're gonna do better today, right? Like, today's gonna be a better day.
Yeah.
And it is for him, yeah, but it's also for me.
I always make it a point to address the situation immediately. Like, when I know I fucked up, I'll make it a point to pull her aside and apologize, because I never got that when I was growing up. And that's not necessarily what's coming from, because I think therapy showed me that by doing so acknowledges the fact that what I did was wrong, first of all, and second of all, that it validates her feelings for why she might be feeling bad, is because I did something quote-unquote bad, like make her feel a certain way.
In a double closing, was there ever a time with your folks where, not years down the road, but the next day, or maybe a couple days later, when your parents talking to you and they were like, hey, I messed up?
Never.
Like, I screw up. Never for me either. Never for me either. So if you're listening to this today, do that for your kid.
Yeah.
Because failure is an opportunity to be better tomorrow.
You know what I'm going to do? Is I'm going to go back through all of our episodes and just make a compilation of your idioms.
You know what? I'll take it.
Yeah,
I will take a TikTok of idioms, because if some people can go on TikTok and they can do some ridiculous BS that's what I would call BS.
To your words?
What's that?
To your idioms, you're saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, they hit themselves in the face with a pie. I don't know. They do some bullshit. They fart into a speaker. Yeah. Whatever the fuck that they do.
Yeah.
And they can get 10,000 views or whatever. Like, okay, that's cool. It's funny. It's hilarious. It has its place for those who enjoy it. But I think there's a place for my bullshit as well.
Yeah. I think I'm on that side of TikTok right now, where I'm like, I'm getting across all those motivational, like, this is what you can do. Don't feel bad about it. This is, you know, probably end up on my For You page. So,
you know. So my wife started watching Modern Family. She's never watched it before. And so she's, I think, into the third or fourth season. And she was talking to me today and she's like, you know, there's a lot of really good lessons in the show that's ridiculous. And I stole one today in our conversation, because it was, in life, like, if you're a dreamer, you want to find another dreamer, and you think to yourself, like, two dreamers should link up, and it's like, well, ultimately, a lot of times that doesn't happen,
right?
But it's important that the dreamers are dreamers, and it's important that the people that are grounded, because a dreamer needs the grounded person to, keep them grounded. And the grounded people, if it weren't for the dreamers, they'd never get their feet up off the ground.
Yeah.
There needs to be balance. It's always balance. Everything in moderation, except heroin.
That's your new sign up. What another wonderful
story. Is that my new sign off? I would love that as a sign off, and I totally have to steal it from my cousin Chris.
Everything,
you know,
there you go. We got
everything in moderation.
We got to come up with an episode. Heroin. Yeah. We'll come up with an episode of just what our catchphrases should be. And we can vote. We can throw it out there for a vote.
I'd love it. You get Bella Mars. I still don't have
a alias.
I don't have an alias. I don't.
It could be.
I suppose it could just be JP.
That's your name in real life. Because you're.
It is.
It's got to be different so that I mean, it doesn't have to be. If you want to be famous by your own name, of course. I don't.
Famous? Oh my God. My ego is not that big.
Come on. No, I drew the line early. I was like, well, at least I have two more days of before people connect that I'm this person and this person. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I envisioned it as something as a JP this. And so I don't know what that is yet.
We'll do,
if it becomes something later.
Yeah.
Great.
That's true. Maybe it'll
JP,
come out.
JP cliche, JP idiom for all I fucking know.
Yeah, it'll be like a section in a segment in the podcast. So anyway, thanks everybody, and I'll see you later. Peace. I always say see you later.
Well, talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, check out crossthestreamsmedia.com to hear more episodes of this podcast and the other shows on the Cross the Streams network. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download your favorite shows. Visit crossthestreamsmedia.com for more information. See you next time.